of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. We are recording on Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m. Yikers, on July 2nd. And we are in a good mood, I would presume. We've had a... This is 2 days into July, but the last match was in June. And I would say we had a pretty good month of June. A couple wins in a row. Really good run of form right now. There's still some questions to be had, but let's just dive into it. I'm Aaron Lingley, and joined, as always, by your Alliance Council President, Guerrilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Personally, just kind of burnt out. It's been a long... It's going to be a long 18 years with this.
I'm just burnt out.
A 4-month-old and a 4-year-old.
The sports ball weekend last weekend where, I was with you on Thursday night at the Storm game versus Caitlin Clark. Friday night, I went to the Mariners game. Saturday night, the Sounders game. And Sunday, I was supposed to march in the Pride Parade with the Sounders, but I slept through my alarm and didn't wake up until 4:30 p.m., so I missed it. My body was like, you get to sleep now. I think I'm still recovering from COVID in terms of fatigue. You know, it's been 3 weeks or whatever, but still a little fatigued.
Yeah. I actually have a question. Yeah. How come the Dallas match, which was at home, was the Pride match, but the Chicago match this last weekend wasn't, when the celebration of Pride, the whole month, right? But the celebrate the parades on Sunday. That seems a little weird.
Capitol Hill Pride was the previous weekend when the Dallas match took place. Traditionally it is on the anniversary of the beginning of the Stonewall riots, which is June 27th into June 28th. It was technically the 28th, but it was off the day of the 27th, I believe. And so that could all play a factor. My guess is there wasn't a Mariners game at the exact same time. With a bobblehead giveaway, so they chose the match where there would be more people in attendance. Although I don't think it affect the outcome either, because both games were pretty much sold out.
It didn't look sold out, but
I don't know if the tickets were sold out, but it was full.
Yeah,
it was full. The problem is show rate, not tickets.
Yeah,
ticket distribution. Well, anyway, because they give away tickets that they don't sell. So,
speaking of show rate, let's get to the show. We have some scuttlebutt. I know you have some as well.
But let's start with that one. For those that don't know, of course, being Sounder scuttlebutt means we like sit around and talk stuff. We like you, the audience, to give us questions, topics, concerns, stuff like that. And so if you join our Discord, which of course will be down in the show description, you can always flag us on Twitter or Instagram or wherever you want and get in on the show. So you should do that. And join our Patreon where you can ask questions there too.
Certainly can. And just give us money to help support the show.
Yeah.
I'm a working dad. Actually, I'm not working right now. I'm on leave, but you get it.
You'll be a working dad in a bit.
God, I'm not looking forward to it. But I... prematurely, because I just really wanted to drink, open my beer. But I do want to mention this beer because our pub league ended this last Sunday. And so we had our end of season party. And this time, it sounds like usually we do it, because I haven't been to all of them. For the spring league, we do it at Hellbent because they have an outdoor area. And Hellbent's in Lake City. And I was sitting there drinking this El Camino Cold IPA, India Pale Ale. It is delicious. So I went and bought a 4-pack and saved it for this moment right here. Hellbent, local brewery, delicious. Go check them out, Lake City. ECS supporter bar/brewery. So you get a discount if you're an ECS member. Go do it.
I'm drinking LaCroix because I actually did have a White Claw earlier when I was at the Sounders offices, outside the offices, I guess.
So you're drinking at the Sounders offices. You're not showing up to work for that.
I literally sit outside and do what we do on the show, but I just get loaded. And then
yell at the building.
Craig Weibel walks by, I'm just like, why haven't you signed Cristiano Ronaldo yet? Stuff like that.
Well, let's see how that works out for you. Anyway, Discord, as you mentioned, we have one that I'll bring up right now. Eric13 says, hey, Nicholas, as in Nicholas Biela, and Legal Minded Punk, you. And he doesn't reference me. I've only created the show and done it for years. But thank you, Eric. Do we think this is something that could happen? So he's referencing a link in the Discord, so go check it out, that the Portland Thorns posted to their YouTube. It's the Green is Gold charity match. And since the Thorns and Timbers are under the same entity as the Rain and Sounders are now, he's wondering if maybe there's something that we could do that's similar to this, and he hates to give him credit, but he said this looks fun to watch. And it's basically, it looks like, it was 10 years ago or so, a charity match that we did at Starfire that was just a pop-up. I think that
Zach Scott testimonial.
Was it Steve Zakuani?
Steve Zakuani's done a lot. Back when he was very active with the Kingdom Hope, which I was the attorney for, there was a bunch of those. It's been a while now, but I think the last one was July of 2017, maybe. That was the one I think Marshawn was at and got a red card for handling the ball because he picked it up and ran it into the end zone.
Wasn't he carrying his flip-flops around?
Yeah, he was wearing his flip-flops in that game. So and that made it on ESPN. I remember my partner at the time and I I usually went to all of them, but we were at Disneyland that day, so we missed that specific match.
That's a good excuse. I love Disney.
Yeah.
So
we used to do those, and then of course it was at Memorial that they had the Zach Scott testimonial, which was a charity match as well.
Okay. So looks like these are pretty similar, but this one is a mix of like former Timbers players. Looks like it has some Thorns players as well. And they're playing a charity match. And it looks fun. It's at Providence. Is it still Providence? Yeah, it's Providence. And they're legit playing. I mean, obviously, they're not going to slide tackle each other probably, but it's quality soccer. So
yeah, I wonder if the question came to me and Nicholas because we're an Alliance Council and we can put it directly to the team.
I'll give him that. Yeah, I'll give him that.
But, I don't think there's any plans for that right now just because the Rave Foundation's focus is more on building 26 fields by 2026. And they have their big gala coming up in a couple weeks. Excuse me, you're going to hear my loud keyboard as I type it in here. But
your typewriter.
It makes added sound effects, so it sounds like, oh, look, he's diligently working. So it's going to be the Born in 74 gala is July 18th, 2024 at the Providence Swedish Performance Center and Clubhouse, a.k.a. Long Acres. Cocktail hour begins at 5:30. Seated dinner and live auction beginning at 7. Includes a live performance from a special Grammy-nominated singer. First team and coaching people will be there. Live auction. It's super fun. It is a little pricey, but if you can pull it off. Did you ever go to, you went to one with me or Nicholas? Or Nicholas. See, he's got me calling you Nicholas too. You went to one with me, Aaron, when we recorded, remember we sat in my car and recorded a podcast, with Houston prior to the event.
Yeah.
But, a Houston podcast.
That was the one 2 weeks after the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple years ago.
That was an awesome
last year it was at a hotel down in Renton. This year it is at the clubhouse where they've moved into. And I can tell you I was at the clubhouse tonight and I saw some the giant, we're talking massive tent they're constructing, bigger than anything most people have seen. I have seen a bigger one because I once saw Radiohead in a giant tent in Saint-Denis, north of Paris. But outside of that, it's the biggest tent I've ever seen is being constructed there. Right.
When I saw Cirque du Soleil in a tent in Marymore, so...
Yeah, it's okay. So it's not that big, but it is, I think it is in the realm of that, but it's not quite that big. But
so what you're saying is what we kind of have done and will do other types of charity related things,
right.
But since we have the Reef Foundation, it's going to be mostly through them. And I do think this is a great idea, like just a mix. Yeah. It looks like a good crowd. There's Jack Drewsbury. There's other.
He was the one Timbers player I kind of liked. Not Steve Zakuani. I love Steve Zakuani, but outside of him,
Diego Valeri. Nagby.
Oh no, those Valeri I respect. Like, I hate Nagby because he just ate us alive. But
oh, you hate him for on the field stuff, like because he was
not
good.
As people. Like my favorite Timber is the Ibobase.
Yeah.
But anyway. But no, I mean, I think this is a great idea. It's the kind of thing that the Sounders like to hear. So I will definitely pass it up the chain. In fact, this evening, I was in a meeting with Hugh Weber, Adrian Hanauer, and of course, General Manager Craig Weibel, where we were giving them lots of ideas on stuff because they are in full listening to the fan mode. And how can we make everything, how can we make this team everything you want it to be?
Now that they're done planning, they're celebrating the past, they're listening about things for the do for the future.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're a season ticket holder, hit up your rep too and ticket rep and you can tell them your ideas. But I will pass that up the chain because it is a cool idea, and it would be, even if not them, Washington Legends of Soccer, someone, maybe a cool after the season 50-year anniversary event would be something where you could have, it's so late in the year, but it'd be cool to see like players from the 70s get out, just kind of, you know,
yeah, I don't know if that's smart. Yeah,
that is Ozzie 50 comes years in and ago. Just Ozzie comes in and just cuts out Alan Hinton's legs.
I think a few of us would like to see that. Moving on, you have something for me.
Yeah, I have three things, non-Sounders related. No, one Sounders related. So I'll start with the two that aren't. Just kind of first thing I wanted to ask you is, so you have this rule, right? For the Mariners, where you don't want to know the score unless it was, what, five runs difference?
For sports, but yeah.
For sports, but Mariners is five runs. I mean, you're not going to say five touchdowns for the Seahawks. That sounds like a lot, but...
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah, so basically, if it's a blowout, I don't want to watch it, but if it's a close loss, like, I'd still like to see my team play, and how do they react to being down, right. Or, you know, so is it a close comeback?
We've been seeing a run of play, though, where the Mariners are terrible, right? Like... It falls within your five-run rule, but they're getting two hits, four hits, and doing nothing.
I still want to see that because I want to lament with everyone else when I watch it. Plus, like, I don't – like, that is my chill time. Like, as soon as we're done recording this, I'm going to go sit and put that on. Otherwise, I'm going to watch – like, it's a good background. Baseball is a perfect background sport, you know? You have your moments so I can edit and whatever. So
yeah.
I'm still going to watch it.
I think about, like, the game I was at on Friday, the Mariners
great one
won in the 10th inning. However, if they had lost, I don't know if I would have told you, say, oh, you should watch this, because it was maddening. It was like striking out 14 consecutive times. It was, or 13, whatever it was. It's just like leaving runners on second and third in the ninth inning when they get second or third one out. It's just, it's gotten to the point for me where it's like, I don't even... Their 12 and a half game lead is now, as of yesterday, so we won't even talk about today's game, down to, I think it was three?
Three, yeah. So what are you getting at? What are you getting at?
I'm just saying, I don't know if it's worth your time to keep investing in it. I feel like it might drive you crazy. You need a relief, and you're not going to be getting it. You're just going to be mad if it's more games like Friday.
Nothing's changed in terms of the style of player performance from the Mariners in multiple
seasons. That's true.
So, I'm not changing. It is my glass of wine sport at the end of the night, and
okay.
Please don't spoil anything for me. We'll leave it at that.
I won't. But I was just curious, like how can you keep putting yourself through it? Because it's Like, that game was rough. If I hadn't been hanging out with Nicholas and his family and taking partial care of Roma for part of the game, the little one, and I probably would have lost my mind because it was a very frustrating game.
Yeah.
Even though it turned out good in the end.
Yeah, well, even a shitty game at T-Mobile, it's just a fun environment to be around. That was a sold out
beautiful
game
ballpark.
Too,
so. It's beautiful weather. Night. Like, you can't beat it. I'm interested in this series right now, especially with three against Baltimore and two against Toronto. It's going to be beautiful out every night. You know, getting down to the ballpark would be awesome. I don't know if I'm going to do it because I hate the Blue Jays crowds, but still.
Seriously. Anyway, what's number two?
I'd like your opinion on, at the time, what we thought about Lando Norris eliminating back Max Verstappen from the F1 race. Now, after reviewing it, it turns out Max Verstappen was at fault and just tried to blame Lando
Norris.
I
watched it, my quote-unquote live, obviously. I wasn't up at 3 in the morning. But as soon as I saw that was not Max, that was Max Verstappen's fault. He just pinched him out, and it sucks that Lando Norris was out and Max Verstappen still got to go back in and earn a
by pushing
points,
him off onto the off under the grass. He made sure that Lando was out. It was almost like he did it on purpose.
Well, he's Max Verstappen. He did do it on purpose. We're talking about Formula One, and we haven't for a while. It's now getting exciting again. Mercedes won that race. Spoiler. If you don't know, you don't care too much about F1. But
F1
is really fun to watch when it's like this.
What did Lewis
three
get?
Teams. Oh, he got like fourth.
Fourth?
Fourth or fifth, I think. Yeah. Didn't make the podium, but George Russell made the podium, or won it. Anyway, Formula One is so fun when it is fun, and it can be incredibly boring if you don't like the intricacies of the sport. Kind of like if you don't like the intricacies of baseball. Like, okay, it's a 2-0 count. He's got a wicked slider, but should he throw a slider right here, or should he try to just get in the zone? And so you're like thinking it as a pitcher would, right? If you don't give a shit about that and you're just waiting for a hit, yeah, baseball can be really boring. Same with Formula One. If you don't care about tire strategy, pit stop, windows, all this kind of shit, it can be pretty boring. That race was fun. Great to see Max Verstappen be the... I don't say not the butt of jokes, but like he's just wins everything. So to see him fuck up and also... not win, let alone not even make the podium, was great. I loved it. It just sucks. I love Lando Norris. I think he's great. And I want him to win the championship.
But seeing Piastri up there, another young driver, you know, having Russell and Piastri, two young guys up there. I'll tell you what, if that had happened and Lando had been able to run, seeing it would have been two Piastri and Lando up at the top. Oh man.
Yeah,
would have been exciting. So we'll move on from F1, but I had to bring it up. We hadn't talked about it for a while, but I was just very excited that for once we did not even have to deal with. It was like this whole year it's been Max Verstappen's going to win, and then what's going to happen for second?
That whole race up until the last seven laps was Max Verstappen's going to win. Yeah, and then it was like,
yeah, fuck, I think it was eight laps to go.
Yeah, like
retire the car.
Anyway, what's the last one that Sounders related that you have for me?
Yeah, so MLS All-Star Team roster announced, not a single Sounder on it.
So it's finalized. Because I remember we went over this when it was the initial like batch of results came in.
Yeah, so it's finalized. There wasn't a single Sounders. Obviously, a Sounder can be added if people pull out, which does happen because of injury or other things. How do you feel about no Sounders? Do you think that's fair?
I think it's fair at 30,000 foot level.
Yeah.
If you look at the month of June, and I was going to bring this up probably in the second half of the show, but I'll bring it up now. We've defended Rusnak for ages. But I think particularly like because of last year and then not making the playoffs then last year and then the slow start again this year. People were, among other players also, but pointing him out to be an issue. And he actually is our leading pass completion, has the highest pass completion of a non-defender, which those passes don't fucking count, swinging around the back. He's got 9 assists.
Mm-hmm.
He's an assist leader. He slotted the 2 penalties to win that game. he had a couple phenomenal passes that just weaved through, like one to Jordan Morris that I forget what the outcome was. I think it doesn't really matter. It was on the left side, and it got through like three guys, totally turned the last defender that was guarding Morris around to try to catch up to Morris, which wasn't going to happen. He had a just really good game, and I think his performances of late would, I think, be an honorable mention for All-Star.
I'll say he had a really good second half.
Yeah, but no one had a good first half.
Right, but people, Sounders fans will not accept that. Like, his DP should have had a good first. Like, I can't, how many times
have okay, he won DP the fucking game, and how many times has he won a game for us? And he's right. leading
quite a few.
Pass completion.
No, I agree with you. I don't understand the hate. I think it's because they expect him to be a scoring DP, and that's not where he's at. And they also, we'll talk more about when we get into the game stuff, but he also was not... Even when he was not on the ball, because in the beginning, everyone was giving the ball away, not just him. Mm-hmm. Even when he was not on the ball in the second half, stop watching everyone else. Just watch him. He is in the middle when the defender, every time, you know, because we kept passing him back, every time the defender to the defensive midfielders get the ball, he's pointing which direction they're going to move the ball. He points to the left, his left, they pass to his left, so they're right, vice versa. So he is controlling that offense himself, but no one realizes that because they're not watching him. They're watching the ball. But if you just watch him, he's the one out there developing the plays, telling him where to go and how to get the ball moving upfield the whole time.
Yeah, and if you're watching on Apple TV, it's kind of hard to just watch him because the last 20 minutes of the freaking game, they like lost the feed for the broadcast angle.
Oh,
so we're watching from this sub camera. Is that what happened? Because I saw
power
the lights
went out
flash.
In the stadium. They did twice. And I will tell you, I much preferred it when the power was out because all the lights went out except for the lights that were the actual field lights. Yeah. And it was like you were outside watching a game at like a high school stadium.
That's
it didn't
dope.
Have all the
so,
ads. And it was really cool. But it fucked it up for you.
Very much so. And in fact, the second penalty, you can't even see how it happened because it was the substitution camera, the midfield.
Oh.
Like
so you were just seeing
the benches.
A butt, I heard a lot. You were seeing people's butts.
it was a butt show. But what you just said, that ambiance, that atmosphere. So I'm a Laker fan. If you're an NBA fan, you're probably familiar with how it's going to change soon. The Clippers are going to have their own stadium, arena. But the Clippers and the Lakers have shared the Staples Center, now crypto.com. I don't even know how it can still be their sponsor because aren't they going under? It doesn't matter. but they, in order to give a home field or a home court kind of ambiance, the Lakers always have the lights kind of dimmed on the crowd. So if you're watching a Laker game and you're looking at the seats, they're in the shadows. They're in the dark. You can barely see people past, you know, halfway up the rows. If you watch a Clippers game, all the lights are on. That's just how they do their home games. And the Lakers are more of their Hollywood, right? The Lake Show. So that kind of gives me that kind of vibe, which I always thought was kind of cool. All the lights are on the fucking field. So, which is what I love about night games is I love night atmosphere with lights. But if the whole stadium's dark, except for the field, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, I don't know if it affected the play much. They at the second time it happened, because it happened twice in a row. Mm-hmm. The second
I saw
time
the flashes, happened, but since the LEDs were still on, I didn't think anything else was wrong.
Yeah, the all the lighting that was for sponsorship and on the LED boards and stuff went out. It was only the top ones that stayed, and I was just it almost felt like it gave my eyes a rest. I was like, oh,
seriously, let's just watch some sport here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
But it kind of felt like lightning. It was like lightning struck the stadium and it went flickered and then it came back, even though that's not what happened. I don't know. It was raining, but not hard. It was just like a really strong mist. It was very strange.
I vaguely feel like I heard something that the Mariner game was affected too.
Yeah, it was. It went
so
out
it must
there.
Have been a city issue, not just the stadium issue.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Because it was out at the Mariners. They quickly got it back on there as well because they all have backup generators.
Yes. Yeah. So back to your original thing, the MLS All-Star.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say Rusnak is like my honorable mention, but I'm not like perturbed that there's not a Sounder on there. What about you?
No, not really, because I think the players that would deserve it, which you know, Rusnak perhaps. I mean, his 9 assists put him at tied for 5th in MLS, but remember, it's not East versus West. There's one team. And so there's a bunch of midfielders ahead of him. And then a bunch of them have more goals too. I think João Paulo, had he not missed the first, month and a half of the season, would probably be on there. But he's just, because, you know, what was that, 2 games ago, he had 100 touches?
Yeah, like, exactly.
He's controlling everything in terms of the ball control. But
yeah, missing matches.
I think he just didn't have the time. So, no, I'm not too worried about it. I hope they'll use it as a chip on their shoulder to maybe put some. It's just weird. We have players missing shots they should never miss, defenders making mistakes. I mean, Yamar, I saw someone say Yamar deserves to be on there, and I'm not positive that that's the case. I think he said quite a few mistakes that maybe would prevent him from being on there, but you know, I haven't actually looked at the defensive stats. So yeah, if we were to pull up like duels and clearances and where does he fall? Well, he's 12th, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12th. Oh, I was right. In clearances, his aerial defenses are okay. He's not getting.
I think we're just used to him being that quality, and he is that quality. I think a lot of players are, their individual performances have been affected by the team performance that we've been witnessing for 3 months now.
Yeah.
You know, just the system hasn't been clicking, and that's going to make everyone play or not produce the way we've been focusing on scoring, but we've had more gaffes in defense, even though we have a pretty good defense. We've had more gaffes, including this game. So I'm not surprised that no one's on there. I wouldn't debate and argue for anyone to be on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can see why you'd think, oh, Yamar, his average, you know, performance quality since he's been with us has been all-star level, and he's one of the best center backs. But I'm not watching the rest of the league right now, you know. I'm sure, as you said, he's 12th in what was it, duels?
Defenses. Or clearances, sorry. Clearances.
Clearances, yeah. So, anyway, yeah. Not
and
surprised.
Reagan's actually 14th, just 3 behind him. So, I mean, even though we would say Reagan's had a very tough year.
How many Olays does Reagan have? He's probably first in the league with, here you go.
Yeah, well, we won't discuss that.
Well, yes, we will, actually, in the second half of the show, because
that's true.
That pissed me off.
We won't discuss that in this context.
Yeah.
I think the only other thing I would say on that is this isn't like baseball, where I feel you get in on your name recognition, and if you were good the
past
year. Or
NBA,
yeah. If you're good the last year, you kind of get in that next year, because you might not have gotten in. This is like actually people who deserve to be there for that year.
Yeah, and I don't think any of them do.
Yeah, not when you're fielding one team.
Although you think Schmetzer should be coaching the MLS All-Stars, right?
I've heard rumors that he might be going over to the USA now that they got knocked out of Copa America.
Which was going to be my last little scuttlebutt as I watched that full match. Didn't watch all of Bolivia just because of, you know, prioritizing my screen time. Yeah. And I was like, I got time to hold my baby and watch the USA. And that match was actually frustrating, but still entertaining. Until obviously the goals happened.
That
ref was, oh my God.
That ref. And the goal, I don't know if they, because you were watching the broadcast, so you missed all the memes. But you clearly saw that goal was offsides, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Like,
well, I did, because we were watching the All-22 for the first half of the game. that was like, this is, I kind of like that angle, but not for a full match. I like the ability, and in our Discord, actually, in the main, what do we call them, channels, threads?
Yeah.
Channels. They were talking about, you know, because I had posted, this is the view I have on Apple TV during the game. And our listeners were talking about the interactive ability. And I think I thought about this before. I've only can imagine I would have brought it up on the show. Is I would love for the evolution of Apple TV MLS Season Pass to be interactive angles and not just the home listener. So you can jump to the broadcast. You can jump to, you know, all 22. You can jump to whatever, you know. That would be cool because there are times when I would like to rewind maybe and see how something started from back to front all the way through at the all 22 angle.
The Seahawks.
Because I like tactics.
Before, it was like maybe a year before everything went all digital and it became, they were basically fighting the fact that people watch TV at home, but it was before there was lots of streaming, like you could just watch NFL ticket or whatever on your phone, Sunday ticket. They actually gave you a device as a season ticket holder that just for the season that you could switch to different camera angles throughout the stadium. So that you could be sitting there watching the game live, but then go, oh, I want to see the end zone angle, or, oh, I want to see the angle from up above. And they had cameras in every, and I didn't use it much because I just watched the game with my eyes, but, and, you know, the connectivity wasn't the best. But, yeah, I feel like there are certain, like, before they started doing the Manning cast and stuff like that, they used to do things where ESPN2 would show a different angle of the game. So you could watch the main broadcast or you could watch the different angle. And I kind of miss that.
Well, F1, short reference it again for just a short moment. If you have F1 TV, like the app, you can go on board on every driver's car and jump between them or watch the broadcast. So a couple seasons ago, I had F1 TV. And I remember putting my laptop on my lap, and that's the main broadcast. But on my phone, I had Lewis Hamilton. Because you also hear 100% of all their radio conversation. Which, if you're watching the broadcast, they'll pick and choose. They're directing a show. They'll pick and choose audio from radio conversations throughout the race that they'll want to present to the viewer. But if you're in the car, you can listen to the entire conversations that they have throughout a race. So I had an earbud in my ear, headphones over my ears, and I'm like, felt like I was a driver, but I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like to have like this kind of like courtside or next to, you know, in the car, but also watching the whole race. And so something similar to that or interactive angles. I think those are great ideas, but anyway, yeah, USA is out. Match was chaotic as fuck. That ref was terrible.
It was an interesting reminder that common ball refs are actually worse than pro referees.
Yeah, poor dude. And he was in over his head. And we don't have to get too much into it.
Did you see the end where he didn't shake Pulisic's hand?
Who, the ref?
Yeah, Pulisic basically had been mad at him throughout the game. Initially starting from, and not to get too much into it, but when he gave the yellow card but let them play on, which you can't do that.
Yeah, which is...
And
yeah,
so ever since then, Pulisic yelled at him. And so Pulisic, while shaking his hand, like the guy refused, and he was like, "Why don't you go?" So Pulisic was like, "Why don't you go celebrate with the Uruguay players?" Then,
ooh, that's a great response. If I mean, he also like there was the advantage played.
That yeah, that's the one that where they got in the tiff with one another.
No, but he called back the advantage. Didn't give us the advantage when Pulisic had the turn on the guy on near sideline.
Whoo, that was one of the best turns I've seen.
Yeah.
The way that he got it and was able to just spin around and take off up the field.
On the field, I love Pulisic. Outside of the field, I don't want anything to do with the guy. But anyway, USA is out. I'm not surprised they didn't win that one. They should have done better in their group earlier.
They should have beat Panama.
Should have beat Panama because Uruguay is one of the best countries in the world. So... yeah, and they held their own, and it was fun despite the chaos. It was they came out swinging. So, but they should have done better. And this is a good one that I wanted to bring up, leading into the second half of the show. Rui Diaz and New Who No Shows. So on the broadcast, I don't know if you have any information on what happened. But this is at least the second. I know, definitely know it's the second time, but maybe even the third time.
For New Who.
Second time this season, New Who has not been available because of disciplinary issues.
This is at least the third, maybe fourth or fifth in his career.
Like, since he's been on the team.
Yeah.
On the first
team. And I think all of those are within the last two or three years.
Yeah. because he certainly wasn't doing this in his first year as a first team player. And but Rui Diaz as well, which actually you mentioned, or someone on our Discord last episode mentioned that both Rui Diaz and was it Nuhu left the field without acknowledging anyone?
Yeah, they left the field without acknowledging the fans, correct? And that's why they got suspended. I mean, ultimately, I think there probably was more to it.
But that was the public show of disdain that they're like, all right, if you're going to do it in public in front of everybody, you're going
to
be.
I think that led to the discussion that led to them getting suspended. It was, you know, you don't fuck around with the fans, is what Schmetz was saying.
Which. Props. I do appreciate that.
I mean, I think he knows that. And that's the thing, is he's from here. He's had Sounders fans his whole life supporting him, and he's going to support us. And, you know, the times where we're negative, or I'm negative about Schmetzer, it has nothing to do with not wanting him to succeed. It has to do with my worry that we're not going to succeed because of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, of course, I want to. That was the reason they weren't available.
So in his press conference because I think we recorded right after I'd been to practice last week, where he talked about it. And yeah, he said, you know, it's an in-house thing. I've heard rumors. I don't know if they're true that they got in an argument, but I don't know what kind of truth there is to that because I don't know if the people have any information. I have no inside information on that. I just know that it's... It's something we've seen from a while from Nuhu, but you know, something like this could wake him up. We'll see.
Maybe I mean, Rui Diaz.
It's out of character for Rui Diaz, for sure.
Yeah, maybe Rui Diaz it wakes him up just because he had a frustrated moment and he hasn't really been disciplined before because he's been great for us, obviously. Probably our most
he's been
prolific
a great
scorer. Yeah.
And you look at his goals this year. He has 8 goals for the team?
Eight
he
goals.
Only has 6.8 expected goals. He's scoring above his tick in terms of that. Mm-hmm. 88% pass percentage, 2 assists, versus someone like Jordan, who has 7 goals, but his expected goals is only 5, which I find interesting.
Wait, so he's performing above his tick as well?
Right. But he also, I wonder about expected goals because he... has early in the season missed some wide open stuff.
Not even early, but yeah, no, that surprises me because Rui Diaz doesn't surprise me because he has like 3 penalties, 4, 3,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's a 1-to-1 on expected goals, right? But I don't
Russ
know how the math
has
works.
3 goals and his is 4.3, and what, 3 of those are penalties or 2? I think 3.
Definitely 2. Definitely at least 2.
At least 2 because we saw them and they saved.
Yeah, we saw them with our own eyes. And multiple angles.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you didn't see the second one, but you saw somebody's butt instead.
No. So actually, what's weird is they did jump to like I don't know if it was exactly the broadcast camera or at least another camera up there at that level, still midfieldish. But I got to see the actual. I'm the only one watching season pass. The PK from above, but the live penalty, like the foul.
When they drew it. Yeah. And it was a foul. That was a good one.
Yeah, no, that one. Yeah, we'll get to it in the match. But I just didn't get to see much for like 20 minutes other than like I was standing on the side of the field, which would be cool if I was actually on the side of the field, not on my couch. Anyway, Nuhu-ing, Rui Diaz, Nuhu-ing.
Nuhu-ing. Nuhu-ing all the way home. That should be the name of this episode.
Nuhu-ing all the way home. All the way home. All right, let's... go all the way to the second half of the show right now. Okay, so probably the most overused reference from one of the more famous pieces of work ever, but The Tale of Two Cities. It was the best time and the worst time. Overused in sports all over the place. This was literally a tale of two halves, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
First half was terrible. They scored in the first half, right? Chicago? Was it the first half?
Yeah, Halais. I can't say his name because I always say it like what's his name? Bob Marley says it. Haile Selassie scored. He's of course name. His last name is derived from the I believe he's Ethiopian king who became part of the Rasta religion.
If you say so. I don't know anything about anyone in Chicago.
So, yeah. I just mean in general. That's his last name, and he's named after a ruler.
Okay. Well, either way, that I believe, if my memory serves me correct, because we don't prepare for this show because we're scuttlebutt, that the goal that they scored was in that half, right? We went in the half, 1-0. As soon as it happened, I mean, the whole reason it happened is stupid and totally on brand for this half of the season. Wow. Is this a microcosm match? Then Obed turns it over.
The 30th minute. So you're correct. It was. Yeah.
Obed just is running with the ball and doesn't make any move to avoid the defender who just swipes him clean, who then passes the ball to the gentleman you were just speaking about. And I don't know what Reagan's doing here. I have no idea why he's running up and olaying the player who has a free turn one-on-one with Stephen Fry, who can do nothing on that shot. Reagan should have just squared up and just stayed there. I don't know what he's doing turning him loose.
It was almost like he overran the ball.
Yeah.
It was like he was running up and overran it and had to turn sideways.
As if the Chicago player wasn't there? Like, I don't know what you're... Like,
yeah. So then Marin Haile Selassie, who I was correct, first emperor of Ethiopia from 1930 to 1974.
Take Cameron out to trivia night, everyone.
Yeah. But it was like he just overran it and then let the guy was able to just like basically bounce it and go by him.
And why are you overrunning that? Anyway, you shouldn't be going full speed into that. You should be making sure he can't get a shot off. Like, just
yeah,
stay
it, it
in
felt
front
like
of...
he didn't expect the Obed giveaway, and so he was...
Which was 30 yards ahead of that.
Right, but I think he was already moving in that position, so he was trying to charge to get the ball, and just... It was bang, bang, and he shouldn't have. He should have made the decision to stay back a little bit. So that the guy doesn't run past you. You can't be flat-footed, but because of the way he did, he went right past him.
Yeah, he's just had too many of those.
Right.
And I don't see... And I'm not seeing them dissipate. I'm not seeing any growth.
No.
And I'm starting to worry that what we saw from him in 2022, Reagan?
Yeah, end of the season.
Was a... Not an anomaly, I guess.
No, it wasn't an anomaly. It was his norm, is what you're saying. Yeah. Because at the end of 2022, everything fell apart.
Yeah.
And he was terrible. And he even gave up, I think, 2 or 3 goals at the end of the season to knock the Defiance out of the playoffs. And then he came back last year and was much more solid. And then this year, it seems he's taken a step back again.
Yeah. And I like the idea of Reagan. I think he's a great dribbler. I think he's a good ball handler. I don't know what is going through his head on some of these. His yellow card was stupid. That happened later in the match. Very similar to when he got that red card, which, I mean, probably shouldn't have been a red card, but was a foul, I think we agreed. And it's like, you fouled the guy, but that's not a red card.
Right.
But you're just running up on a guy, you're not taking him out, but you're clearly making some dumb moves. And that one, I mean, in hindsight, yippee. What, 3 straight matches where we're coming from behind. But it was just a frustrating first half. And you were there. Audibly, that goal happened. And if I could, I don't, the sound was, or the reaction from the crowd was almost like, like that we expected this, but it's still a bummer. Like, not surprised, still bummed.
It was weird because while we were clearly the better team in that half, we had so many bad giveaways. So, I mean, it was Rusnak. It was, oh my goodness.
Chew. Chu, but I mean, Chu had him.
But Chu is, his weren't like, oh, this is a bad pass. His were what he always does, which is,
yeah, I'm not going to pass it until it's too late. Anything. Yeah.
Right. Like,
what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know.
Yeah. But poor Reed Baker Whiting looked like a rookie out there. He looked lost in the first half. Now, much better at the end of the second half. But that's not what sticks in my head. Like, it seemed like, what is he doing out there? The ceiling for, I feel like the same him as Nuhu, where if that's the floor, I would much rather see Baker out there. Because we know his ceiling isn't high, but his floor is definitely higher than that. Because that was scary. Of course, it didn't lead to a goal, but it was worrisome.
Yeah.
Alex looked pedestrian. You know, he's coming back from his injury. But that's why we saw a change at halftime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ryan said, well, this isn't working. And he mentioned in his post-game press conference, there was lots of stuff he could have done. Because you could have switched someone on the left. You could have done lots of things. But the fact that he took out Alex, I think, really benefited the Sounders. Because we're seeing how valuable Christian is. And we've seen how valuable he is on a more defensive position. Now, he's always going to push forward, but at a right back or at a center defensive mid, he gives so much to this team. So now that we have De La Vega, I'm starting to think maybe you could move him back, and then suddenly you can either put De La Vega on the left or and Rothrock on the right, because, oh my goodness, Rothrock has been a revelation. Or
on my notes, I just have Rothrock as a,
yeah,
as a
I
thing.
Mean, and I was, I energy he was level. Not getting his chance. And now that he has, and it's because he's not performing in practice, right? Now that he has, he's on fire. Like, it's great. And so, you know, Chu on the left, De La Vega on the right, or De La Vega on the left, Rothrock on the right. I think no matter what they choose, there's some danger that's coming. Yeah, and we saw that in the second half, even before De La Vega came on.
Yeah, no, this, I mean, out of the gates, second half, it was a completely different energy level. They were sharp.
At halftime they made that switch? Because I think they listed it at 46th minute, but I think it was, like, at halftime before the kickoff, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, Paul Rothrock came on for Alex in the 46th minute. So I'm assuming that it was just at halftime, and because it's 45-0-0... they're just counting as 45.
Yeah, it's got to be that. It's got to be that. It's a stupid sub to make.
So putting Rothrock in on the right made a big difference, and suddenly you saw us very dangerous, and everything kind of changed.
Yeah, no, the passes were connecting. They were creative. They were unlocking other options, which is, I mean, that's why the game is called the beautiful game, is if you make the right passes and using your triangles, you're opening up two more doors. Yeah. Make the right pass, you're opening up two more doors.
And that's when Russ and I think, really started pushing, go this way, do this, do that. Mm-hmm. You know, pass me the ball, I'm passing it back to you so you can put it that way.
He was doing his Hans Zimmer conducting.
Yeah, he was conducting the offense in a way, up until De La Vega got in there, and then I think everything kind of changed. I didn't find De La Vega as dynamic as he'd been in past matches, but I wonder if he was a little... not that he didn't make hard runs, but a little more timid in the way he was playing than maybe he would have been.
To be fair, he had a cumulative like 98 minutes before getting subbed on or something like that. So, and he last played like 2 months ago. So, he's not going to be sharp on the field with everyone. And he didn't look very sharp. He actually, I think his first, I don't know if his first touch, but I remember his first dribbles was on like attacking third, coming from the elbow of the box towards the middle and totally getting shouldered off. And
I wonder about that, Russ, because I was at practice on Tuesday before the match, and he looked great. He looked like he wasn't rusty at all. So I wonder if there's something different about playing in that small environment in training, even if you're in a game-like atmosphere versus playing on a large field where you're having to go on runs. But we saw Chu make a run in the second half that almost in my mind erased some of the mistakes from the first half. Where it was...
Oh, his second half, too, was also fantastic.
And Brian had a lot of good things to say about him.
Well, and I saw him make a very aggressive run back on defense,
mm-hmm.
which I know last year was like the point of emphasis for him. And I think it's when everything else is clicking, he plays better, which is, you know, goes that's the same for everybody, right? If everyone else is playing well, everyone's elevated. But him especially, if there's creative play around him, his style of play is elevated. Because he's trying really hard to be that creative flair player. But if if we're just cycling the ball around and then it comes to him, he's like, well, I'm going to fucking try to do something. And he'll turn the ball over. And that tends to be the focus because that's where the ball got turned over.
Mm-hmm.
I think when, yeah, everyone's clicking, that's when he's able to shine in his best light. And he looked like the Leo Chu that I adopted a season and a half ago. And it was exciting. And he was pretty upset coming off the field. And I'm not excited about that public reaction. Did you? I don't know if you saw that because you were at
the
stadium.
Someone mentioned it, but because I sit, my seats are behind the, up, but behind the other bench, opposing bench. But someone on behind me mentioned that was the case.
I'll give him credit. He didn't like whine until after he gave De La Vega the double high fives. Like, okay, get up. So it wasn't more like, it was more just directed at Schmetzer, your decision to take me off. I'm like, I've been part of this comeback here. We got a goal. I want to stay out there. And the same thing, like, was it the match? No, he didn't even play in the last match.
Yeah, but one of those.
The one prior, he assisted and then was subbed out right away.
Yeah.
So I could see why you'd be frustrated, right? You help in the comeback, and then you don't even play a minute, even though there's a week off. And then you come into this one, you're part of the attacking creative brilliance we were seeing in the second half. And you're subbed off, albeit you're subbed off for Pedro de la Vega. So it's not like you were getting subbed off for, I don't know, somebody else that's not Pedro de la Vega. I'm having a brain fart. I was going to say Rothrock because it's just a new kind of bench name, but I was like, actually, Rothrock's been playing great.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Rothrock, though.
This season, most players coming off the bench, maybe Tevez, maybe you'd be like,
there we go. Yeah.
Every other player, I feel like you'd be like, yeah, Chu, sit down.
I wanted to say Cody Baker, but we have the Reed Baker Whiting, and Cody Baker is Paul Rothrock in my head when I just look at them like, you both look like just Brads.
Paul Rothrock. I don't think he himself changed the game, but I think the change of putting a more offensive player than Christian has been this season on the right side, paired with Christian's ability to push up more than Alex has been doing, because Alex traditionally pushes all the way up, but it doesn't seem like he and his brother have that same connection. They're not playing off each other the same way that they have in the past.
Yeah.
And so you saw kind of a change in our offensive flow, because this team clearly is not built to be a defensive team based on the amount of mistakes we're making in the back. This team is built to score, and we've got to see them score.
Possess and score and play solid defense. Above average.
So we saw in the second half, we saw defense play well. A couple nervy moments, but as a whole, I would say kept possession well and were able to push forward and really allow Rothrock and everyone else to really get a chance to make an impact on the field.
It's his energy level. It's his, like, he's got grit. He's got very high energy. He's clearly, he's playing for contract, right? And he wants to be an MLS starter. And who wouldn't want to be, right? You're in the MLS, you're a player, you don't want to be on the bench. But there is, it's like that fire that he's playing with is contagious. And it every time he steps on there, it seems like something is happening. It kind of invigorates the other players, and whether it's getting, I don't know, under the skin of the defense that's trying to guard him, which, like, his positioning and his tenacity to be in that position for that ball, I mean, led to the penalty. The guy, all he could do to prevent him from putting a foot on it was pull his shirt back, which live. I didn't see it.
I did, and I thought Rothrock just... I didn't see the poll. I thought Rothrock just missed the shot. I was like, oh, it's another one of the
Rothrocks exactly.
running
I mean.
To the corner, missed the ball. So
you
close.
You see that all the time. You see that all the time.
And yeah, it's happened earlier this season where I think in the one game where he finally first scored, he had one or two before that where he probably should have scored that because he was running up in line. I thought it was the same thing. Clearly a penalty.
Yeah.
Clearly on the pulled down from behind.
The replay of just the chance missed before they were even mentioning Varchek, that's when I was like, oh, fuck, that's not cool. Like,
yeah.
You can't say that he wasn't going to be in the – any body part was going to not be able to put that in, let alone his he was trying to get his foot there. So there's clearly a penalty. I think that was a great call. And to be in the right position and be that type of player is what – we need. I think that's a great. I'm not sold on starting him right now because I really want, especially with Pedro coming back, I want to see our on paper best 11 have the opportunity to be what we built.
Yeah. I think and we still have a couple games before Pedro, though. We still have a
that's
couple
fair.
Games.
That's fine.
So fine. I feel like you have two games now, New England and then a pretty tough
US
game.
US Open Cup.
US Open Cup in Sacramento. Yeah. We should see Rothrock and Pedro in that game. I think maybe sit Pedro, but then there's another. We have another game right after that too. I think you have a couple games here where you could mess around with Rothrock versus Chu before Pedro supplants himself fully into the lineup. But after that, I think yes, you're going to see Rothrock as a sub come on,
like
be able to stretch the defense with his speed. Kind of make the team more dangerous, the same way we've been talking about Rui Diaz can do.
Yeah, if they come on at the same time, right? Get Chu off and or like Pedro, right? Like if he's his first start, Pedro de la Vega is probably not going to be a full 90, especially if we're winning.
Yeah,
he's probably coming off at 60 minutes, like that. The combination of tenacity, energy, and then technical ability and just scoring prowess. Between him and Rui Diaz, like, would be a phenomenal duo to just bring on the field just to fuck shit up for the defense. Whatever they're trying to do, they're not going to be able to build off of that. Because what I think was great about Rothrock is we like to pressure when the other team has a ball. Or at least at times we do. And I think pressuring is incredibly important instead of just allowing a team to move up on you. His energy is key for that. Right, Christian Rodon's great at that. Yeah, I think he's been great. And who would have thought? I didn't know who the hell this guy was. And unless you follow Defiance, you don't know who this guy is. You don't know who Cody Baker is. You only know who Reed Baker Whiting is because Schmetzer loves the kid and started playing him early, just like last year. Right, I didn't know who Reed Baker Whiting was until last year. Yeah, he didn't.
Remember, we were talking about him like he's just a dude, and then he proved me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyways, I mean it's
totally
it's
different
interesting.
Halves.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at the. This is of course the whole game, but if you look at the MLS stat line or the stats from MLS, and you look at like goal, positive goal differential, field control, the passing. Where the ball went, where the players got their most passes, who got the most passes, and the momentum chart. The momentum chart is largely Chicago momentum in the first half. We have little blips but on the goal plus differential, but it's all mainly Chicago. And then the second half, once you get to our goal, from then on, except for from the 75th to 85th minute, or maybe 80th minute, we control the 55th minute on. It was all us. And to the point where Pedro de la Vega, I think, probably drew another penalty there at the end. The guy fell over on the back of his legs. I never was able to see a slow motion replay, but watching it live again, I feel like that deserved a penalty. Now Rothrock, the handball, that was not a handball. The guy's arm was against his body.
Yeah, no, I agree with that not being a penalty, and I only basically forgot about agree with you should have been a penalty. Is because we got that penalty later on Jordan Morris, and we won. So I I'm not thinking about
The De La Vega one was afterwards. It was at the very end. So it would have been a third
one. It was?
Yeah.
Oh, then that
it was, it was. It
we
was.
We were
like,
already done by
near
then.
The end. Yeah. So
maybe I couldn't see it, actually.
It could be. What's interesting is to look at, and we can, I can share this with you. It's from at MLS Stat on, I'll share this with you to share in the Discord for everyone here. But
you can put it in the Discord.
I meant in the show notes.
Yeah, okay.
I could put it in the Discord too. You're right. So, excuse me. Rusnak did have a plus goals added of about 0.2 or of 0.1, but the person that added the most goal potential for us was Christian. And if you look at the chart there,
What's the goals added to the game?
Think about like WAR in baseball. Wins against replacement.
Okay.
But it's goal, goals. How much are they contributing to the goal being scored throughout the game? Reagan, the worst, -0.5. But Christian was
literally
the highest.
Here you go.
Yeah. Christian was the highest. And, you know, he played what they call right wing, we'd call right mid, plus a right back. If you look at the second half, though, where he played right back, interestingly, they're pushed way up offensively, the right back and left back. And then JP, who is the left defensive mid, was actually playing more on the right side, whereas our right defensive mid was playing more on the left, and everything was going through the center attacking mid. So everything was going through Rusnak. So it was a really, it's a really fascinating way that in that last 45 minutes, they changed up how they were playing the game in an effort to be more offensive. And you can see the passing chart there. I don't know if you were able to pull it up, but you can see like JP passing it up, but then look at the passes from Rusnak, where they're mainly going to the left to either De La Vega or, is that Chu or Chu? Or they're going to the right, but they're mainly going to the right back with his Christian. So Christian is pushing way up, even though he's playing a little further back. And our center forward of Jordan Morris is playing predominantly on the right, near the right wing, right mid. I find that really fascinating about with our movement chart, which they do have the field control down below on there. So this is a really fascinating stat sheet that... I think it questions some of my preconceived notions about the game, but also then explains kind of what we did. I mean, if you look under it, it goes into passes into the final third on the next one, and ours is wild. They have some for Chicago, but we have so many passes in the final third, and they're all like up to the top of the left, which you'd expect with Chu, which you'd expect with De La Vega, a lot through the middle, but then some to the top to the right. There's none in the middle. The only one that went to the middle was probably that one long one that Jordan ended up picking up from the back half. And then it looks like we had one of those. So this is a kind of cool little thing that I'm glad they did. Yeah, especially when you look at right now. Like interceptions, the height. We were playing a higher defensive line at 48 meters instead of 41 for Chicago. If you're a stat nerd, look into this at MLS Stat. It's pretty cool.
Got it. Already putting it in the show description right now.
Awesome.
That's pretty dope. Well, anyway, I mean, I think we're happy. I think we're in a happy mood.
My hope.
June was a great month.
Here's the thing. Whatever Brian's saying at halftime, can you just say it in the first half? Just say it before the game. Just make that speech. Right. Why are we losing, assholes? Make that speech and have them go out and be like, oh yeah, we don't want to lose. We don't want to look like jackasses. Because whatever they're doing is working in the second half.
Unfortunately, it seems like we're more comfortable in the comeback kid role.
Right.
At least for June, right?
And I think we've always been a more of a second half team, but not always coming back. That's when I think, if you think about this team, it was always... making adjustments at halftime. I think that we're still in that mode. We just got to make sure it's not like Pete Carroll sometimes where you're already down 3 touchdowns, so you're not going to come back.
Right.
Which, I mean, we were down 2 and we did come back. So if we go down 3, we're screwed.
Yeah. Well, 2 isn't a big number. I mean, all of June, we scored at least two goals in every match. And what were we bitching about all season? Not scoring multiple goals.
Yeah.
A goal, for that matter, sometimes. So I think that, considering we didn't see much, I mean, it's a little bit less of injuries. We just didn't have Pedro de la Vega, but the frequency of injuries every single match or international absences wasn't as frequent this last month, although there was Bell and Nuhu, right, for their respective countries. That's the only absence we've had in June. So I don't really relate that today too much to the performance of the team.
Let me confirm this. This is big news, because it came out today.
Ronaldo was signed by the Sounders.
No, during this call up, I can't find it right now, but I was shown a tweet earlier today, and so obviously. It was from a legitimate source. I don't recall who it is, so I'm not going by this, but it's Scuttlebutt, so who cares? We're making talk. Jordan Morris turned down a call-up for this Copa America. Well, it said the Sounders turned down a call-up for Jordan Morris. I know for a fact they would never do that without Jordan Morris's blessing, though. They're not going to say you can't go. I think they probably win a couple games with him out there.
It's probably he knew he wasn't going to get a single fucking minute.
Yeah, and we needed him here.
Yeah, no, we desperately need him.
But I think he scores some of those goals that Ricardo Pepi should have scored and didn't because he's in the right position, but is terrible because he used to play for FC Dallas. So, but we needed him here and he stayed.
He wouldn't have been on the field to score them instead of Pepi.
There were reports, unconfirmed by me or anyone else so far, because I can't figure out where they are, but that the Sounders turned down a call-up for him for Copa America.
That's interesting.
Yeah, which, this last month looks a lot different without him because he's finally figured out how to score.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean... Yeah, that's. I would only assume it's just he knew he wasn't going to get almost any playing time, and he's clearly going to be full 90 for us. So, and we needed it. So I like that. I like the emphasis on club there, because that's all I really. I want the USA to win, but it's not where my heart is. I support them when they're on. Sounders are my club, and I want to win MLS Cup every fucking year, at least. So anyway, I see the lighthouse. I think we should probably start pulling this into port.
That sounds good. On this 16-year anniversary today, as we're recording, the 16-year anniversary of the settlement to allow the Seattle Supersonics to leave and move to Oklahoma City.
Correct.
When that judge's decision that could have kept the team here throughout the next 2 years of the lease, and then Clay Bennett would have lost all his money because Aubrey McClendon, the guy funding it, lost all his money in that next 2 years due to the financial crisis. Maybe we would have never lost the Sonics. On this 16-year anniversary of the city council's decision to screw all fans and not let that happen and let the Sonics leave, I just want to say I'm thankful for the Seattle Sounders.
They filled that void beautifully for us.
Yep. Yep. Where can they find you on the internets?
Well, first, it's been an hour and 8 minutes of recording, and you've yet to mention that I've buzzed my hair. I know no one can see this, but...
I can't see it, but you have your headphones on, so I didn't notice.
Oh, come on. Bullshit.
Oh, yeah. No, I
have a beautiful head of hair, usually. It's just... okay, whatever.
I shaved my head since you last saw me, too.
You've always mostly been bald. I grew up in a hair salon. My hair's important to me, and I told my mom... just buzz my fucking hair. I'm a married 35-year-old dad. I don't care about how I look anymore. I want to feel good. And
that is why I wore an Aloha t-shirt today. So I'm asking you, younger than me, but now in your midlife with two childs, join me. Here's a hand reaching out to you. You and your childses, you can have fun with them.
It's child eye.
Your child eye. Shaving your head like you've now done,
I have enjoy a nice. My head. I buzz my head.
Yeah, it's. You
I'm,
could
I'm pretty sure I got like a weird mole or somewhere on my head that I don't want people to see.
Also, please integrate Aloha shirts. There's a great Mariners one they just had on Saturday that we couldn't get because
totally
I was at the
that.
Sounders game or something. Aloha shirt. I wore one today. Baby Yoda one. So comfortable.
Or like
so
a dad
freeing.
Safari hat with a drawstring. Something like that. You know, sensible
it's not
shoes.
Giving up. It's not giving up on life. It's giving in to comfort.
No, seriously. No, sensible shoes.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah. That's why I wear Hoka One ones.
These are my shorts. Why would I not wear these shorts?
Yeah.
I'm just going to wear these shorts. They're clean.
You got extra pockets in them?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I don't care that my socks are two different socks. They're just comfortable.
There you go. There you go. You have to worry about saving the life of an infant child that without you would starve and or crawl into oblivion. Like, she can't crawl yet, though. When do they
crawl
start crawling?
Crawl into oblivion?
When do they start crawling? Like, 6 months? 8 months? A year?
Well, we're getting probably close. She found her side earlier this week.
Oh.
Went from back to her side, and that was all. Can you imagine? That was... I remember in high school with my buddies, we were just like sitting there one day, just like after school at the Pizza Factory, which is like a pizza place that was, you know, when you go into a pizza restaurant and hang out, like when pizza places were restaurants. And my buddy was just like, can you imagine just like sitting in one direction for like your entire life and then just turning around and then be like, oh, there's
a lot of
other world,
school, didn't you?
A lot of my friends did.
Yeah, you clearly were getting that secondary high.
Yeah. But it is fun. It's like for a baby. Just
no,
to be
absolutely.
Like, oh, just laying there on your back and then just rolling over and being like, oh,
yeah. When do you show herself in the mirror and then she has to realize?
Oh, I do that all the time. We do silly faces all the fucking time.
That's
love
good.
It.
That's good.
She got big old eyes.
Well, congratulations on that haircut. Get an Aloha shirt. Maybe there's some Sounders ones out there. I'll do some research.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to sit on my lawn and bitch at people that just walk by, too. I think that sounds like fun.
And throw beers at children. So you hit the 15-year-olds in the head, but at least you get some beer. They get some beer out of it.
No, I'm not giving away my beer. I'm drinking it right now. All right, so you can find me on X at @AaronLingley. Aaron Lingley. And you?
Legal Minded Punk on all of the social media platforms. And it looks like there is some Sounders Hawaiian shirts. I'm not sure I like most of them, but I am seeing one that is blue and white that has a Sounders crest on it. Old Sounders crest. So if you are a extra large or smaller person, it's on sale right now. You can go get that and enjoy.
Send me the link.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, Nicholas Biela gave us a scuttlebutt in the mailbag. I feel like Steve Zakawani's charity match was our version of this event. Frankly, something like this would likely need to be organized by a Steve or Brad Evans with proceeds going to the Rave Foundation to be most successful. It's like he was on the fucking show.
It's almost
Eric
like
13.
He was on the show. He's answering it despite the fact that he wasn't even on the show, but we just talked about it.
He's listening
that
to this
wavelength
right now.
Is going. That's what's up.
Biela is rubbing his nipples right now. He's like,
they were talking about me.
Yeah, I just sense it. Why does Aaron Lingley even on the show? Why is he even on the show? He's never referenced by any of the listeners.
We couldn't do this without our fearless founder / person who edits everything, because I have to edit all my other podcasts, even though most are on hiatus at the moment, and I don't have the bandwidth to do this too. So thank you for not just being our fearless leader, the host of the show, but also being the producer, the executive producer, the editor, and all of the above.
And thank you, listeners, for providing us some Patreon patronage so that I can continue doing that.
Yeah, did we get some
no.
in it? Oh.
No. It's brand new.
Patreon.
We're in puberty.
It's $1.74.
I remember when Discord was just like four people. And
that's true.
It's grown. So
and it's
you
grown.
Know,
we're
in puberty,
lots of great people.
Everything's awkward, and let's just talk about our acne, you know?
And one more thing.
We have acne right now.
Got some time
now
to hang out.
Now give me money
with,
so I can pay for it.
I got some time to hang out with Jose Raze this weekend. Ran into him at the Sounders game.
I feel like
always
you've run into
him
a few times.
Oh, yeah. He works Superhawks games during the season.
Oh,
but
that makes more sense.
Superhawks ended, So I was able to spend some time with them outside of Superhawks and say what's up. So I just want to say shout out. Always good to see you, bro.
Shout, let it all out. James, take it away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.